In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and God, amen. May the Lord bestow upon us his grace and his blessing now and ever into the age of all ages. Amen. This third Sunday of the blessed month of Kiev is one of the most impressive and most powerful gospels that we have. In fact, many of the hymns that we have during this month are taken from the praises that we see in this gospel, whether it is praise for the Virgin or praise to God for his work in the Incarnation, or whether in all of his creation. And this meeting between the Holy Virgin and Saint Elizabeth, as we see in the psalm that is prophesied, the meeting of mercy and truth, of righteousness and peace, of truth and righteousness, that is between God and humanity and the work of his servants together. But I would like to reflect just on one of the final verses in this great praise of the Virgin, and that is that he has helped his servant Israel in the remembrance of his mercy. The people of God were waiting for thousands of years for God to help humanity and rescue it from all of the problem of sin, the separation that was caused, the death and the corruption, and all of the difficulties that they were plagued by from generation to generation. Yes, he had helped his people in many different ways in overcoming various obstacles, but the final solution, the healing for the sin, was still awaiting the coming of the Savior. And this wait for humanity for thousands of years was what the Holy Virgin said in this verse, that he helped his people Israel in the remembrance of his mercy. And the first question that we have is, what does it mean for God to remember? What does the remembrance of God mean? Not that he forgets us, although many times in the story of the people of Israel, they felt that God had forgotten them or was not answering them. And one prophet after the next would cry out to God to remember his servants, remember his children, to remember his people. But God, who is a God of promises and is faithful to all his promises, as St. Paul says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. God remembers his covenant by fulfilling it. And this, when the Holy Virgin says that you have remembered your people and you remembered your covenant, because you are fulfilling your work now in and through us. In fact, as the scholar Origen says, Zechariah, his name means to remember, the remembrance. And Elizabeth, her name means the promises of God. And if we remember the promises of God, we will receive John, whose name means grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And when we look at this psalm, it is illustrating for us this coming of the Savior, the truth, and all of the grace and mercy that was promised to his people, the fulfillment of the full forgiveness of God and the opening of the kingdom for his people. God's timing, in fact, often may seem delayed, but his remembrance is always perfect. And that's why in the church, most of our litanies will say, remember, O Lord, the sick among your people. Remember, O Lord, those who have departed. Remember, O Lord, the travelers. Not that he has forgotten us, but in a way, when we are asking the Lord to remember his servant, we are saying that, Lord, you remember us, and we are always remembering your promises to us. So the actual petition is saying that we did not forget what you have done with your people. In fact, after Moses and the Israelites crossed the Red Sea with great joy and expectation, and in the final days of Moses' life on earth, God had commanded him, as mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, that write this song and teach it to your children and to your children's children, so that they can remember the work that I have done among them. They, when they are in the wilderness or fighting different kings and kingdoms, or whether they are establishing the work that they will have afterwards, they should remember me in this day so that they will not forget the work that I have done. Because forgetting God's promises and God's work is much more dangerous than any plague that the people of God could experience. In fact, there is this powerful section in the Divine Liturgy, which I know you know well, as you are experts in the liturgy and have professors for you teaching, that remembers the anamnesis or anamnesis or anamnetic, however they say it, the part where we are recalling what God did for us. When we say, looking and proclaiming his death, his resurrection, his second coming. And someone would say, okay, maybe we can remember the death and the resurrection and ascension even though we were not there. But how can we remember his second coming if it has not yet happened? But we are remembering the promises and we are living in faith that he is coming again to save us. These events would shape our life and guide our future. This work, which is not just a historical event, but while we live in Christ, then his death and his resurrection since the time of our baptism. It is also what St. Jacob of Emesa said, bishop in the 7th century, that everything in the Eucharist is remembering and recounting all that Christ has done for us and in us. It is this holy remembrance of remembering the good things that God has done and minimizing or even forgetting those things which are not so pleasant. Sometimes in our life, we do the opposite. We sit and focus on all the negative things that have happened, whether other people have done it or whether when we feel forgotten. And there are people that are experts in this. And when things even are going good, they'll focus on the negative until it can quench any hope or any joy or any goodness that is in the world. The holy remembrance that we have, which is to defeat any bitterness, any resentment, any distortion of God's truth. And in fact, what we often may pray for is a holy amnesia of the things that plague us. Because if we are in this sickness of remembering the negative so much that we forget the goodness of God, then we need to take something that can have us to forget those things. I remember visiting one of the ladies who has a challenge in remembering things. They may repeat over and over. It's very common in old age. But what piqued my curiosity was that she kept focusing on the love of God and his salvation for us. And even if someone brought up something negative, she would go and repeat what is. So the cycle that she is living in is very fruitful for anyone to focus and meditate on the goodness of God. In fact, even at first, I felt sorry for someone who has this. But if the focus is on the best thing that we have in life, then actually that is a joyful thing. Someone who may have an accident, they may be in so much trauma that the mind, as a gift from God, will forget all of that. I don't remember anything. I remember being in the car or being in the situation, and then I remember being in the hospital. God gives this gift, because if we were to remember, maybe it would affect a so difficult person have challenge to continue in life or even to have strength and hope. Remembering what God has done with his children so that he can continue to work in us. When Moses had departed, Joshua came after, there was much hesitation. He had served, he had worked, he saw the glory of God. In fact, the more that he meditated on it, he was more and more hesitant. So God continued and began his message to him, saying, be strong and of good courage. Repeats it several times in his first message. Not because Joshua forgot the first time, but so that he can insist that he live with the strength and same courage that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. So Joshua would say, but he crossed the Red Sea. He said, you will have the Jordan River. But he took Pharaoh. He said, but you will defeat over 31 kings and 5 of the Amorite kings in one day. He said, but you had the manna that came from heaven. He said, but I will also, when you are in battle, will bring hailstones to defeat all of your enemies. I was with him in the challenges that God had in this time, and as I was with him, I will be with you. Yes, the situation is different, but these were the stories so that we, as the children and the receiving all of this inheritance, may continue. The reason for the Senexar, so important for us, that all of the stories that God had done, so that there is a continuity between the gospel and between the way that we live. So no one would say that is in the Old Testament, that is in the New Testament. There's 2,000 year gap. So the Senexar complete this. That's why we know the book of Acts doesn't end with Amin, and we continue in the liturgical tradition with the work of the saints, because they have continued the work that God had done, the acts that God has done with his people, continuing until we reach our generation. That is remembering the past with hope for the future. When Ezra was sent, and Zerubbabel and the others, to rebuild the temple of God, and they had began their work, there was a big difference between the old and the new. People who were old enough to remember the past, they began to weep, began to say, what we saw before is not now. Just like the people who may have come from Egypt or large churches or great families or have empires that they left. They say, but the situation that we are living now is so much different. Things were much, much better than they are now. Sometimes the older that we get, we say, yeah, it was much better. And then the young people who were very excited with the work that was being done, and they were rejoicing. So as Ezra mentions, that the people who are weeping and the people who are crying, rejoicing at the same time, there was this mix of the two. And in our life, we often have this mix of the two. Yes, there were many good things in the past. There are good things to rejoice in the present. But God gave the promise to Ezra to emphasize to the people that what will be here in the future will be greater than anything that you have in the past or in the present. He gave them a living hope to say that no matter how difficult the situation seems, no matter how great the challenges, no matter how big the enemies of the people of Israel, what is coming is definitely much far better. And that was what their hope was, as the Lord promised them, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So with the grace of the Holy Spirit, we will remember not just what the Lord said, but also we will have this living remembrance. Remembrance in his work with Moses and Joshua and all of the people of Israel, as we heard even in the book of Acts reminding us of Joshua. Or whether it's his work with all the saints that had pleased him since the beginning, or with even the work that he has done in our own lives, our own families, our own churches, that God has done great and wondrous things. Someone said, well, how come he can't do more now for us? And that is with a living hope. That is what many of the prophets cried out when Haggai had heard the voice of God, and he told him that he said, but aren't you the God who saved all those? Can you do something now? Because we have some problems. And God gave him a message that he would not forget, and he said, not just for you, but for all of your children, to emphasize that I am with you, and I will work in you the same and greater things. So we beseech, even in this fast, for our powerful, merciful, and loving God, that as he did wonders, for them to also work in our life in the way that he sees fit, and accept all the sacrifice for the glory of his name, to bless the new ordination, continue to work in him. from generation to generation, and in this blessed place will be to now and ever to the age of glory.